Honourable members, can we please get seated and start our meeting? Good morning, honourable members. Good morning, Department of Public Works, our guests, and everybody in here. I think it will be good for us to start with our meeting. Are there any apologies? We do have three apologies. One from Honourable Mazopa, Honourable Mungoni, and Honourable Zela. On that note, you are well welcome. Can we allow the department to make their presentation if they are ready? Are you ready? Okay.
Thank you, honourable members, colleagues. And also, actually, when I look at the people from the department, honourable chair, whether we need to introduce ourselves, I think all of us we've been here a number of times. If the honourable chair allows us, I will then do the presentation. Which is on the status of the construction sector charter council. Thank you, Chair. The process started quite some time ago. It started with a framework that was the transformation framework that was developed by the department in 2003, which consulted relevant departments. These are the departments that we work with ourselves, National Treasury, DTI, Department of Housing, Department of Water Affairs and Forestry, then the Department of Transport and the Department of Provincial and Local Government at the time. So that this was the government process where we were charting out, you know, the content and the way forward in terms of transformation in the construction industry as government. In 2004, we started involving the industry where, as government, we involved all the stakeholders in the industry and the unions. We formed what we called the Construction Charter Council Group, which had its own structures that were managing the process. Eventually, the charter was gazetted in 2007 as Section 12. Section 12 is really just a commitment by the industry. It's not binding to government. It's a gentleman's agreement by the industry where the industry agrees on certain industry specifics that they are going to transform. It was gazetted in 2008, and in terms of Section 9.5B, this is the time when the Department of Trade and Industry gazettes the charter for comments for 60 days. And the comments were received, and this is a process that is managed by the Department of Trade and Industry. Comments were received by the stated as a department as well, where we address some of the issues that were raised by the stakeholders. And eventually we had a version, and this is a process that involved government and private sector. We submitted a version, relaxed version, taking the content, the comments into account. We submitted it to the Minister of Trade and Industry. In 2009, the sector code was approved and gazetted by the Minister of Trade and Industry. At the time, all the stakeholders had were signatories to the charter, and they signed a constitution. I must mention at the time that some of the delays in the process, as you see the years, was because the suppliers and the manufacturers in the construction industry were just not coming to the party. We eventually agreed that we are going to move forward. But of course, now that is Section 9, 9.1, they are forced to come in, and we're starting to talk to them. So all the signatories signed the charter and the constitution, which we discuss constitution governing how the charter is going to move going forward. It was signed by all the signatories in 2010. The charter council was established in 2010 by all the members. What has happened, it is still needs to be formally launched by the minister, and the minister to appoint, we'll talk about that later, to appoint the chairperson. But in the meantime, as the Department of Public Works, we are hosting the chair of the Construction Charter Council, as well as the constitution. Once the chairperson is appointed, the charter will be running on its own. Just to inform the honorable members that the Charter Council is not a body of the Department of Public Works. It is an industry body, industry including both the private and the public sector. But because we are the lead department, we lead in that process. Otherwise, a body that runs on its own, that reports both to the Minister of Public Works as well as the Minister of Trade and Industry. These are the members, the founding members of the that drafted the constitution that were there when we started, up to the time that the charter was gazetted. The Department of Public Works, I don't know if I should read this, the African Builders Association, these are all the associations, honorable members, maybe I just think the honorable members have got the presentation. I don't have to read it, but just to mention that these are all the associations that are existing in the construction industry together with the unions. As you see there, we've got the National Union of Mine Workers, we've got the Building, Construction and Allied Workers Union, plus government. The Charter Council, in terms of what it will be doing, it shall be, in terms of the constitution, it shall be a representative structure comprising of members from all constituent bodies, as we have said, and stakeholders in the construction sector. It will act in an executive capacity and will be responsible for sharing information, for instance, information with the verification agencies in terms of how far the transformation is happening in the construction industry, as well as government, for instance, when we get the report from the agencies, we will be submitting both to the Minister of Public Works and the Minister of Trade and Industry. So even amongst the constituent members in the construction sector, the council will be sharing that information. It will be reporting for compiling reports on the status of broad-based black economic empowerment within the construction industry. As I said, that report will be submitted to government. We'll talk about that later on. The mandate of the council in terms of the constitution, and this is taken from the Global BEE Act as well, is to oversee, evaluate, monitor, and review the implementation of the charter, share the information with the members of the construction sector, compile reports on the status of the BEE within the sector, and measure the extent of achievement of transformation objectives. It will be responsible for the development and distribution of appropriate best practice notes in the construction sector to guide the BEE. This council must guide the whole of the industry in terms of how to implement the BEE. Must ensure good corporate governance in daily functioning of the Charter Council. It reports to the minister and to the two ministers, the Minister of Public Works and the Minister of Trade and Industry, and the Presidential Advisory, the Advisory Council on the progress made by the construction sector with regards to transformation, must perform all such acts and do all such things which are incidental and conducive to the attainment of its objectives, initiatives, and purpose as specified in the constitution. So this is a body that will be running the council. In terms of the charter code, the small and medium size companies, they are exempted. In terms of the construction sector, the company, micro companies that are less than 5 million are exempted. Small qualifying enterprises that are between 5 million and 35 million, they are considered to be at status 4 of the council. You realize that the structure of these two subsectors of the industry, the construction industry, is normally a big company with a high structure, but the DEP, the Built Environment Professional Consulting Companies, they are usually very small in size, and therefore hence the micro companies are defined as less than 1.5 million and qualifying small enterprises as 1.5 to no more than 11.5 because of the size of the companies within the industry. And this was agreed by us as stakeholders, is what is known in the industry. The members, I will not go through this. We've got it in our website, which will show. We show at the website of Public Works as well as the website of the council, which we saw and will show at the end of the presentation. But it just says these are the indicators that were negotiated over all these years. The first year, we're taking 7 years. At the time, the council was talking about, was it 5 years? We're talking about 5 years, but in fact, we're talking about 10 years. But we agreed on shortening the years to achieve our targets to 7 years. But 7 years being a long term, we agreed that meet that term, we are going to review and see if we are achieving the targets and adjust when necessary. Hence, you see the targets that are from 0 to 4 years and from 5 years to 7 years. So mid-term, we are going to evaluate ourselves as the industry and take whatever actions that are necessary. These are the targets that we set, and these targets are not necessarily the same as the generic sector code, but in most cases they will not be less than the generic sector code. Hence, we are doing our own sector code. The companies in this industry cannot report on generic sector code. They have to report on this one because it is the sector code now. And you will see that in most cases, you will find differences between contractors and BEP. As we have said earlier on, the structure of the companies, they are different. Hence, you see, for instance, on this one, you see we've indicated the employment targets for contractors. These are the employment targets for BEP because of the structure. We have to look at that difference. I won't go through the detail. The honourable members, if they need more information, we can always provide. It's quite detailed. It's there. It was negotiated over a long period of time. Now, coming to the way forward, what is actually happening now? As you mentioned, the constitution of the construction sector charter council provides for the Minister of Public Works to appoint a chairperson of the council. The minister, as I mentioned earlier on, this is not a public works institution, but of course, because the department is a lead department, the minister, it was in the interest of this council for the minister to have an opportunity to appoint so that he can provide strategic direction. The minister can appoint that person either from the people that are already there that are representing their constituencies, or the minister can appoint an external person. As I've mentioned, that this is to give the minister an opportunity at least to provide strategic direction to the council. The minister is also expected to launch the council so that we can publicize it. We've been quiet for a while because things were taking time to the industry as a whole, both public and private, to say where we are. When we're still negotiating, we're always out there communicating about the status. But after the processes of gazetting were quiet, it is important for the minister to launch so that we can start to publicize to the stakeholders that actually they are expected to comply now. The construction sector charter council is currently finalizing the registration of a charter council as a Section 21 company. This is to ensure that the council currently, the constituents of the council, they are supposed to provide to fund the council, but currently they are unable to do that because there's no legal entity to receive that money. Hence, we are registering it as a Section 21 a company so that the participants can put in their contribution as agreed in the Constitution. And also, once it's a Section 21 company, it will be able to appoint staff, you know, to perform its function. And this will, of course, make sure that they are able to observe good governance. Currently, since we are not able to appoint, there is an acting COO, which is one of the members of the council who offered to play that role because there are certain activities that need to be done. He is not paid because there are no funds, but he is paid out of pocket. Even though there are no funds, he will be paid at a later stage when the Section 21 is able to receive money. He will be paid just out of pocket expenses. If he's expected to go somewhere, at least he should get paid for that, or if he pays for a number of things like stationery within the office, he should be paid that. He's keeping records of that. He has offered his time, he's a businessman, he has offered his time until the appointment of the permanent CEO. The advert, I'm not sure if it went out this week, I didn't check. The advert for the CEO should be going out, or it might have this week, I don't know, I didn't check. But soon it will be going out if it hasn't. The new candidate is expected to resume office by October, so that if everything goes well, that person should be in the office by October 2012, next month basically. She will be assisted by an admin officer in the running of the office. We've mentioned that the gazetting of the charter in terms of section 9.1 means that it's a sector code and therefore it's compulsory to both public and private sectors. That means government departments in this industry, they must implement the charter. The department has developed a training manual for the public sector, and we will be embarking on roadshows where we train all spheres of government, you know, the whole three spheres of government to both implement as well as monitor and report on the performance on transformation. The plan in terms of our plans should begin by the end of October. The first status quo report, which is a report that will be driven, will contribute to that as public sector, which will be driven mainly by the council, which will be talking mainly to the private sector. To what extent is the construction industry transforming? The information we are starting to develop terms of reference to do the research. We estimate that report should be ready because we are taking into account the holiday season for the construction industry. It should be ready for the public works and the DTI ministers by the end of January, if everything goes well. Currently, as we mentioned, in the absence of the chairperson, and the fact that the council has recently just received offices, we are hosting the chairperson position and the secretariat, and therefore we have created a website in our in public works, which is www.publicworks.gov.za. All the information for now for the council is there, but the council is developing their own website and communication strategies. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Honourable members, there's that presentation, but before that, I just want to say, Ms. Gwebe, in 2010, when making a presentation to the Portfolio Committee, though I was not there, but I went through other documents, you indicated that the construction sector charter was previously gazetted in terms of Section 12 of the Broad-Based Economic Empowerment Act in July 2006. But right now, if I'm not mistaken, you said 2008, if not mistaken. Huh? You said 2008, if I'm not mistaken. And also, you indicated that in April 2010, the construction sector constitution was developed and supported by all members and is to be approved soon. What did you mean by soon when you were presenting in 2010? The meaning of soon, what did that mean? And you also indicated that in 2010, the founding members are currently in the process of nominating. That was in 2010, currently. You see, to you, from 2010 up to now, it's soon, it's currently. That's the way the problem is. And also you indicated that the minister will appoint the chairperson and launch the council by then, 2010. To me, it means soon, it mustn't be more than 6 months. That's why I'm questioning, I'm asking these questions. And here, the affairs of the council are managed by a board which consists of 13 persons. Who are these persons? Are there 16 dignitaries that you are, signatories that you are talking about? And then also, you said it is envisaged that the process of gazetting will be finalized during September 2010. And today we are in 2012. Can you please just, those are some of the things that I want us to be clarified, because if you talk about currently, you're talking about now. If you talk about soon, you're talking not more than 2-3 months. Soon, to me, I want that explanation to say, why is it taking so long? Today you're coming back to say, you're talking about, you know, Honorable Mwayemabila, will be followed by Honorable November, Honorable Swati, and Honorable Nguyen.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, what I wanted to find out first is that all what is mentioned here, is it appearing on the APP? Or it's just on this presentation? Because if it was planned, it's supposed to appear on the departmental annual performance plan so that we can track what is going to be done when. Then secondly, looking at the founding members, I don't know whether if you're talking about the national department, you also include AGRIMA and also NHBRC, because according to me, they are very important in the construction industry, even the CIDB. I don't know whether they are being part of the national department, because it's supposed to be National Department of Public Works and some entities. Then the other one, what are the causes for the delays? Maybe we need to start from there. What are the causes for the delays of the launching of this of this charter. Then the financial implications, because you are talking of the participants funding the operation. Is that going to be sustainable? What will be the role of the department in ensuring the sustainability of this council? Then the other one is on the issue of, I think the chairperson has asked it, the soon. 2010 it was soon, 2012 it's soon. When? Can we get some specifics? You are talking about the acting CEO, which is not getting the salary, but he must keep all the receipts. I don't know whether by then, whether it's 2014 or 2020, the council will be able to pay the acting CEO all the money is owed to the acting CEO. Because really some of the things we not things needs to be practical. If they don't have money now, then the receipts that are accumulating for the acting CEO, then it becomes the problem. The last one, Chair, just to clear my mind, I know there's Department of Public Works, Department of Trade and Industry. Who is supposed to launch this charter? Is it the Department of Public Works or the DTI? And also the reporting part. What is it that they are reporting to the Department of Public Works? What is it that they are reporting to the Department of Trade and Industry? Or they are presenting the same report? Chair, I also say that I think there's a need for this to be amended somewhere, somehow, for some amendments, because we don't have the Department of Housing now. The departments have now changed their names because of the delay in the launching of this charter. We're still calling the then department, the then, you know. So I don't think that some of the issues here are still relevant due to the delay of the launching of this charter and also the implementation part of thereof. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I think questions have been asked that I had tried, that I also wanted to ask. But mainly, just one. Maybe I may be out of order. You call me to order, Chairperson. As the draft constitution is coming to us now, and when you look at the mandate, is to oversee, evaluate, monitor, and everything that has to be done. What is the status quo now? Who is doing that work? Are we not the people that are responsible to let our people fail? Because we let the BEE and the triple BEE go on and go on and go on, but I think that we set them to fail. What is the status quo now? Who is monitoring every process that is happening now within these small sectors that are called your BEE, your triple BEE, and so on? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, and thank you for the presentation from BPP. My question is with regard to under the way forward, where it is indicated that construction of the CSCC provides for the Minister of Public Works to appoint the Chairperson of the Council, either from constituency participating in the council or an external person. I'm very much interested on this the last part of external person. Is the external person means that it can be a person from the business, or is it from government or from other departments? So I just want to find out on this one. And the second question is with regard to the issue still under way forward by the second page, where you are actually it is indicated that the CSCC is currently finalizing registration of the Charter Council as a Section 21 company. And it also indicates that for doing that, it is to ensure one of it is the council to receive funds from the participating constituency or any other source. But when in the other section you indicated that the CEO is not going to be paid, but is going to use some slips. So I just want to find out, where are they going to get that fund if the registration is not yet finalized? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Nguyen.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, I think we would like to have an explanation from the presenter about the delay. I mean, proper explanation. This was presented a long time ago, but it's only now that it's going to be activated. that's point number one. What happened? Why the delay? Secondly, it's about the appointment of the CEO. The presenter keeps saying, if all goes well, if all goes well, the advert should. I mean, she's not too sure whether the advert went out for the CEO or not. And the fact that there are no deadlines as to when, what is going to happen when. By this time, something needs to be happened. An appointment of an admin officer will be done soon. I mean, how soon? How soon is soon? The development of the training manual for the public sector will be done soon. But we have seen the delays. I'm not too sure what's going on. Maybe if you can get a proper explanation as to... And if this thing was there a long time ago, about 2007, and you are still saying the launching of the charter by the minister is still coming, really, we need explanation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Members, it says to me, if we did not ask the department to come and make this presentation, it was a forgotten thing. Now we are reviving them to say this. We are awakening, shaking them to say there's this charter thing that you last presented in 2010 and you have forgotten about it. Because if you haven't forgotten about it, there should have been a sense of agency in the whole thing. So it says in the Department of Public Works, there's no sense of agency in implementing decisions that are taken, policies that are taken, because truly speaking, there's no sense of agency in the department. And can we have a thorough explanation, no manga explanation, to say why this delay? Why isn't there any sense of agency? Why should you be reminded to do your work? Over to you, Sister Lydia.
Chair, I hope I got the dates right for your first question, that in 2010 we were talking about gazetting as Section 12. I hope I got it right, but just to explain the process, I don't know if there are discrepancies in terms of the report that we have and what we have here. There are three types of gazetting in the charter process. The one is gazetting in terms of Section 12, and that gazetting, as you mentioned there, not binding. It's an industry coming together saying they are committed to transformation.
Yes, Section 12.
Section 12, yes. It's an industry after negotiating and at that time, it's not the end of negotiations. After negotiating to agree that they have an interest in committing to a charter process,
the industry signed this. I think there was even a signature by all the stakeholders together with the minister when the late minister Stella Sau was still there, if I'm not making a mistake.
No.
So it's an industry committing to, and this is a process that is driven by the industry, it's not a departmental process, unfortunately. So there was a gazetting. The process started, as I mentioned, in 2004. There was a gazetting in 2007. I mentioned earlier, Chair, that actually while we saying all the stakeholders in the construction industry agreed, eventually after persuading the suppliers and manufacturers over a long period, after persuading them to come on board, we decided that as an industry, and it's not driven by us only, we are a lead department, we agreed that we are going to leave them behind. Perhaps it would make a better understanding if we could agree, if we could demonstrate where we started. We start with emerging sector or the black construction industry community and established sector or the white community, industry community. When we started, Chair, some were saying actually there's no need for transformation. So we are moving from zero if you talk about the target, especially when you talk about
who are these some?
The constituency in the industry. Because the people that were representing the constituents that I listed somewhere. They were actually saying some of the, I'm saying, the process is made up of government, it's made up of established industry, which is a number of associations representing hundreds of companies.
Cecilia, can I stop you there? No, we're not. You cannot talk about hundreds of industries as if, you know, we are so dumb that we cannot think about. Hundreds of industries. Underline 100 companies, whatever you're talking about. That explanation that you are giving us is not accepted. You briefed the committee in 2010. Up to now, there's no movement. Why did you come up with the issue of the charter if you are now saying some people might be can be left behind? It means you didn't have any. You only came with this thing for. It's not a serious thing that can be treated with seriousness. That's what it doesn't have any weight that you can even leave other people with. You know, I don't understand. You're not businesslike. It doesn't show that you were businesslike when coming up with this issue, when dealing with this issue. There was business, you know, mentality. You can leave them. It's not important. They're not important. They're not an issue. You know, your explanation, will be followed by no one.
Chair, I want to concur with what you are saying. The department is telling us that they are a lead department. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
If you are a lead, maybe English, it just confuses us. Because in other words, the department is supposed to lead this process. So if that delays, the department is accountable. They must not shift the blame to the constituency, to the founding members, that the delay is due to the founding members, others they don't agree on the transformation and whatever. The department is responsible for these delays because the industry, the minister, the industry is supposed to account to the department. And they've said to us, the industry composed of the department and departments, public and private, but the department is a lead department. So they must just fast track this process and make things happen. They must not just shift the blame to the constituency or to the participants. The department is responsible for the delay of this launching and implementation of this.
Honorable Mwane.
Thank you, sir. Actually, you just covered me. The fact that Public Works is the lead department. They should have taken the initiative to make sure that things happen. I mean, we cannot act like nothing has happened. And besides, on the other hand, whilst you were comfortable in whatever we are doing, the people out there are suffering because it's only the up-and-coming contractors that are really and truly suffering at the moment because there's no charter, there's nothing that is assisting them to come up.
What we need to say is that the policy section of the Department of Public Works, you are not serious about your work. Mr. Pillay, we called you, summoned you last year, raising some of the issues on the policies that you are not moving. And today we'll put it on record that you are not satisfied about your movement. You are not moving. There are a lot of policy issues that are still stagnant there that are not moving, including this very one. Why should we continue with this meeting if there's no movement in issues that were raised in 2010? Why should we keep on inviting you to come and make presentations without any improvement? Is this not a waste of resources? It is a waste of resources because there's no movement. We agreed last year that this year there are three policies that must be presented to the table to Parliament. Where are the policies that we are talking? Last year, we agreed with you. We called you, Mr. Pillay, to say the beginning of this year, there should be movement on policies to be presented in Parliament. Right now, as you are talking, there's no movement. Right now, on this very issue, there's no movement. Why should we continue with this meeting if there's no improvement, Ms. Lydia? We are not going to blame other institutions or whatever. You are the lead department, the lead Minister Stella Sigcau. After Minister Stella, who were the next ministers? Nothing happened up to today. And you know what? In the department, comrades, they are saying politicians will come and go.
Yes.
They will come and go, come and talk, and go. Come and talk, they will be there. Ms. Lydia, we're not satisfied. I don't know whether we should continue, Mr. Pillay, but this must be. Before the end of the year, we want to see improvement in this issue. Like she's saying, we no longer have Department of Housing, and you are still going to waste another money of changing housing into human settlement and all that. Ms. Lydia, we're voicing out our grievances, Mr. Pillay. We are voicing our way. Ours is to see that there's movement. Over to
this
you, Mr. I see you are want to talk.
Okay. This is the way we
mentioned
the Department of Housing.
It's the then Department of Housing that we were talking to. All those departments that we mentioned, they were the
Department of
that
Housing
were
is still there, only the name that has changed. People are still there. People are still there. It's only the name that has changed. The offices and the oil, weather and everything is still there. Fires are still there. Systems are still there. Mr. Pillay.
Chairperson, thank you. it was around 2009 that I just want to make sure that we're not confusing the Public Charter Council presentation or report with the Construction Charter Council report. It's just that if you look at the presentation, we set section, it was gazetted in terms of section 12 in 2007, section 9.5 in section in 2008, and gazetted in terms of section 9 in 2009. Now, what that tells us is 2007 there was an industry commitment where government was not bound to the Charter Council goals. So further consult engagements then happened where we needed to bind the government to those Charter goals as well. So that negotiations took place. In 2008, we gazetted for comments. And then in 2009, there was agreement and the Minister of Trade and Industry then gazetted in terms of Section 9, which then implies that the Charter Council is, is binding to both the industry and the state. Around the same time, as DDG was indicating, the process is largely driven by the private sector because the transformation agenda is so-called driven by the, the industry stakeholders. What we found in 2009, though, was that the constitution was not drafted accurately, and there were fundamental flaws in the constitution. So we then requested that the department then takes over the drafting of the constitution, and hence, within a period of about 6 to 7 months, we redrafted the constitution that entrenched some of the powers for the Minister of Public Works, as well as the reporting to the Minister of Public Works, etc. And in 2010, towards the end of 2010, I think it was around November, the council had in principle endorsed the constitution. So all we needed to do was get the signatories going, official signing of the constitution. So we have all of that in place. Now what's happening is we are getting all of those things put in place simply because we could not get the charter council functioning. There's just various delays in getting certain approval.
What did you mean by 2010 when you said construction sector constitution will be approved soon? What did you mean by that?
At that point, I think it was that report was drafted just before that last meeting in November in 2010, when the council took an in-principle decision to approve the revised constitution.
But the meeting was on the 20th of August 2010.
Which is the portfolio committee meeting?
Yes.
Okay, I'm talking around, Chief, I don't have the exact date, but in 2010...
The portfolio committee presented on the 20th of August 2010.
Yeah, what I'm saying is the constitution was only approved at the end of 2010 by the Charter Council council members. I think it was around November or so. We can try to source the decisions of those meetings.
But I'm talking from what you presented on the 20th of August 2010.
When there is a draft document, you push to make sure that the draft document is finalized. Few things happened which were the reason that we are still talking about that document. One, you will remember the minister were able to present to the minister, then Minister Jeff Deutsch, the constitution of the Charter Council together with the Charter Council. 2009, I think. I don't know the month. We said 2000. Yes, sometime. I don't know the month. The minister, I know that the minister, Jeff, the reason the stakeholders went back was that the minister said there are very little powers for the Minister of Public Works, especially because we are contributing financially. The stakeholders don't take decisions. The council members don't take decisions on their own. They go back. You remember, these are associations. They put individuals to the council. They don't take decisions immediately. They go and consult. That process took its own. And eventually, we took over, as Devin mentioned, we took over the process of redrafting the constitution. The process, the constituents meeting to sign, to agree on the constitution, is a process that is not in our control. They go to their constituents, they discuss, they agree whether to sign or not. So those were the two things that happened with the constitution. The draft constitution has always been there at the time that we said it was there. And just to respond to one question that was raised, with your permission, Chair, the things that are being done by us in as far as the charter, for instance, rolling it out to public sector, they are in our work plans because that's our responsibility. There are things that are being done by the Charter Council which we are part of, we try to influence, frustrating, for instance, the registration of the Section 21 Council, we push the acting CEO to facilitate that. That's one of the things that is very urgent.
I'm also getting more and more confused.
If the department can push the CEO to do things, why can't they push others to sign or to do whatever so that you suspect the process? So the more they present, the more we got confused. Who is who in the zoo on this matter? If we're able to push others to do things, others can decide, they can take their own time. Because according to me, whether the signature is being, the signing part of it is being done by constituency, but there should be time frames when they, when are they supposed to do that, until when, so that the process moves. But if, you know, on other instances, they've got the right to push others on others, no, they are on their own. So that is why that delay, they can take a year if they decide to sign or not to sign. It's confusing, Chair. It's getting more and more confusing.
Can you respond to the remaining questions?
I think there were a number of questions that came on the issue of the acting COO, of the acting CEO. The reason for appointing an acting CEO is that somebody must run and do the registration and do the advert, the things that need to be done to get the institute, to institutionalize the council. We ask really a favor to one of the members of the council, please can you give yourself some time to come and do these things. And we have no money because we cannot receive the contributions by the consumers. In fact, the Department of Public Works is one of the contributors. We cannot even transfer the money from Public Works, which has been budgeted for and approved before the registration of the Section 21 company. Hence, two things. One, we cannot pay the out-of-pocket expenses. This gentleman has agreed to assist us to do this work. He is not expecting a contribution. A lot of people have contributed without being paid. He is one of those. He is not.
Is it legally allowed for a person to accumulate receipts that will be paid after 5 or 10 years? Is it really financially okay? Is the Auditor General going to allow that and accept that? That is it. We want an explanation from you.
The council cannot move without being registered. We are expecting the registration to happen in the next 2 weeks.
I'm saying, is it financially allowed for a person to accumulate and be paid after some months? That's the answer that I want. Is it yes or no?
The finance committee said last week they agreed on payment policies. One of those policies was the payment to the policy, an interim policy for procurement, an interim policy to manage the expenses of the council at this time. It's a policy that has been approved by the finance committee. So
that's what the person is asking.
You see, comrades, last week, members, I will draw comrades. Honorable members, you see, it was done last week after we have invited them to come and make this presentation. Is that clear? After inviting you, you now start coming up with these interim policies. If we haven't invited you, you wouldn't be coming up. Honorable Ngwenya Mabila.
Chairperson, as he's stopping, then I think we need to stop this discussion because it's not going to take us further. Now there's no money. Now there's money. You know, the more they respond to the issues, the more they contradict, they complicate issues. How can you form AMA committees and committees functioning if there's no money? What is it that they're doing? If the council has not been registered, you form the committees, you know, they proceed with work, they're not legally established, you know. I think we need to stop. Otherwise, we'll be out of this room being.
Honorable November.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I was just endorsing the question that we are asking. Is it allowed? What is the PFMA saying? Ulapos Manjwakon, the Auditor General. Is it in order? Is it in line?
Mr. Pillay, you are a legal guru. And you know what? please don't get us confused. Don't get us confused, Honorable members. Can you respond?
Chairperson, the Charter Council, the process that's being followed to register to the Section 21 company is the same process that's been followed by all the other Charter Councils in terms of their registration process. So the Finance Committee that DDG was referring to is the Finance Committee of the Charter Council itself. They have taken a decision. In fact, there was a full Charter Council meeting at the end of June. It was around the 25th or so of June. At that meeting, there was a number of decisions taken. One of the decisions was we need to appoint an acting CEO. The second decision was we need to get the Charter Council operational. The third issue was the appointment of a CEO permanently. So the decision was taken at that full Charter Council meeting that the EXCO must deal with these matters. So hence it was referred to the EXCO to deal with the matters, and I think the EXCO met last week or 2 weeks ago, where these decisions were taken. They put in place a few of the policies, which is one of them being the finance policy. Now the PFMA applies to the department. For us to transfer monies to the Charter Council, as the department, we can only transfer monies to an established institution. Hence, the registration of the Section 21 company. The Charter Council needs to be registered as Section 21 company. In terms of the payment process, they would need to issue us with an invoice, and then we can transfer the money over to the Charter Council. So in terms of the PFMA, I'm advised by our finance committee that that's the way it should be done. Hence, we have asked the acting CEO to fast-track the registration process. The registration process, if memory serves me correct, started in the third quarter of last year. There was a legal firm that was appointed to one, secure the name, and then two, process with the signatories for the directors of the Section 21 company. Now, I'm aware that the name has been reserved, and recently, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've finalized the signatories of the directors. The directors of the Charter Council are the EXCO members of the Charter Council. So that process will hopefully be completed within the next 2 to 3 weeks. At that point, the acting CEO will then issue the department with a receipt, with an invoice for the payment of the department's tranche. We're hoping that our tranche will assist the Charter Council in becoming operational immediately. And then going forward, a more formalized and a more secure funding mechanism will be determined. And there's discussions with DTI on the matter as well, on how we come up with a more secure funding mechanism for not just the construction Charter Council, but all other charter councils as well. I'm hoping that clarifies the issue on the PFMA.
Can you respond to other questions?
The issue on the...
Are you dislodged?
No, I'm trying to find which one we are being responsible.
The issue of the DPW being the lead department, we are the lead department for government. Now, as it was around Minister Deutsch's time when the other government departments to the Charter Councils were identified, they were amongst them the Department of Transport, DPLG, and I think it was the Department of Public Enterprises. At that point, the decision was the criteria used to identify the government department was the extent of budget for infrastructure delivery. And at that point, that was the decision taken by Minister Deutsch to appoint those three other departments to the Charter Council. Now, in terms of the Constitution, the government has four representatives. So the four representatives will be the Department of Public Works, the Department of Public Enterprises, Department of Transport, and the Department of
Local Government.
I just mentioned it now. public enterprises, transport, department of, at that point in time, provincial and local government. It's just because of the extent of the budgets for infrastructure delivery. No, human settlement at that point was not considered because of, we were looking at the biggest budgets at that point in time for infrastructure delivery. So that was the appointment at taking place at around 2009 to the Charter Council.
And when are you going to launch the council? Can you tell us what the council was supposed to have been launched quite long? When are you intending? Because I hope that the gazetting was finalized in September 2010, according to the report that you gave.
No, May 2009. You said it in terms of Section 9.1. So the Construction Charter Council is fully functional. It's fully functional in terms of Section 9.1. And that was done in May 2009.
You know, there's a lot of contradictions.
Okay, what's the problem? If you tell me the report, is it not confusion between the Property Charter Council?
But why in 2010 did you make this joint presentation on the charter and construction? It was the same thing when we're making presentation here. That's why you confused the whole thing.
I would really like to see that report. Usually, because the timeline for these two processes have not been the same, we will make a distinction on activities around the property sector and activities around the construction sector. I would really like to see that report. They have never been the same. They were close. We started them more or less at the same time because we are dealing with different constituencies. They've never been exactly the same. And as a result, the property sector has recently been gazetted way after the construction charter sector.
Okay. Members, that's the presentation. Can we agree here on when is this process going to be completed?
We've given you the process on the registration of the council, but the council is operating actively, taking decisions. In actual fact, they are going to start one of the projects they will start with is to do the research, to initiate the research process to do the status quo report. We can't give you time on the various activities because the process hasn't even started. But it's one of the projects, once they get the funding, that has been identified. We're expecting it to be launched anytime, really. It depends on the minister. Otherwise, everything in as far as the council is concerned is ready.
Well, members, that's the presentation. Honorable Engwenya Mabila, reported by Honorable Nguyen.
I think when listening, it seems as if this process is being done haphazardly at any time. There's no plan in place that by this time we want to do this, by this time we want to do this. That is why sizobona nje. Izinto nazenzekile nje. Sizobona nje. Noma ngabe kunini nje. So really, that is why sekuyabonakala ukuthi i-challenge ukuthi there's no plan. Because really, if it's not planning, ngabe siyazi ukuthi on such and such a time, plan yethu ithi kufanele senze 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. By this time fanele ibilonjiwe. By this time fanele kwenzakale lokhu. By this time ma-training sifanele abe aqalile. All these things. But kuyabonakala ukuthi it's just being done haphazardly. Then we've got a problem. I will suggest that let the department bring us a plan on this thing.
A plan?
Time frame.
Okay.
Yeah. Smart plan.
Smart plan. Implementation plan. Can you repeat that, Mr. Pillay? Cecilia, listen. Can you repeat that?
forward the smart plan. That plan must be specific. It must be measurable. It must be accurate. It must be realistic. It must be time-bound. Sazi ukuthi kwenzakalani nini njani, so that you can just hold them accountable if they fail to implement that plan.
Thank you.
Actually, I wanted to suggest that before the end of November, they should come back and give us the actual plan and then the progress report. Thanks.
Honourable members, Honourable Dreyer, next on the Senate. Second, Honourable Mokubani, Honourable November, Mr. Sakya.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yeah, I want to align myself with the Honourable Ungwenya Mavila, but I'm also asking myself if this process actually is not being managed well. I'm starting to ask myself, what are the people doing in their offices? And then I would ask also that if we got that plan and the report, I think we need to be to check it. And then, but we need also to find out as to whether are we actually doing enough to make sure that people who are employed are doing their work. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Swadje. Honourable members, from 2009 up to date, Department of Public Works had 4 ministers. And you are saying the launch will depend on the minister. I'm sure in 2009 you were saying it will depend on the minister. The second minister, it will depend on the minister. The third minister, it will depend on the minister. Now is the fourth minister. And you don't care whether this minister will launch or not. But if there's no oomph from you, if there's no push from you of delivery, or making sure that you deliver, you will just relax and not say anything to the minister. To say, minister, this thing is urgent. But rest assured that we are not satisfied. We are not going to pretend as if everything is fine. The policy unit, Mr. Pillay, you are not moving. And I will repeat, last year we requested that this year the 3 outstanding policies should be tabled in this parliament. We are still waiting, Honorable Bikus, still waiting. And nothing has been done. And we are politicians. The successors of agency in delivering legislation, bills that was outstanding. I want to remind you. Thank you very much. Our members, I think we've come to the end of this meeting with a hope that in November, beginning of November, if not the end of October, we want a report on when is it going to be launched. Make sure that we make an appointment with the minister. The minister, this is urgent. On that point, honorable members, thank you very much for the presentation. Though, I just want to thank you for sleeping out yesterday and for coming this morning here. You should be in the offices. Everybody, thank you very much. That's the end.